Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lane Keys, Real Talk. This is episode 61. You're just jumping right into the studio right now. Lee's right here, actually. Where Lee's right here.
What up, man?
Are you there?
Yeah, you hear me?
What's up, bro? Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, nothing, man. I'm up in the car right now. I should be home in a couple minutes, but I ain't want to be late. So I'm calling on the Bluetooth. What up, world?
Yeah, that's got to do what got to do. I'm folding laundry right now, so.
Oh, you talking into the speaker again?
Nah, I'm on my phone, but, yeah, I'm not using a laptop, but, yeah, you know what I mean.
Gotta
do what
I
got to do.
Yeah, I got you.
How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. Another day, man. Tuesday in the books. Tomorrow's hump day, halfway through the week. So, you know, it is what it is. Got to make it happen.
That's a fact. Hump day it is. You know, I just wanted to say one thing right off the bat is that I actually ate dinner. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
Yeah, everybody. I actually ate dinner. I ate dinner right before I come on the show, like 10 minutes ago. So there's no issues of me having been sounding uninspired because I didn't eat today. So we all good. I can assure that right now. It's been a couple shows in the past where I didn't eat and I couldn't barely contribute anything because it was past the point of no return. And, There's only so much that we can maneuver in such drastic circumstances. So that's that. One thing that I wanted to say is right off the bat is this. I feel like, I don't know if we talked about this. We probably talked about this a couple of shows ago. It didn't move either one of our needles. So we probably talked about it for just a few minutes. But I just want to say that I think Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem, y'all both lost that, whatever that was, that was, I don't even know, but y'all both lost. That's how I feel about that. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. Because a lot of times when there's a problem in music, the guy who comes out, and this isn't like the only factor, but this is definitely a factor in it. Whoever comes out with the better music after is the one who tends to look better. Because it's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's one of the best quotes ever. 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 And if you don't know what that quote's from, you should be ashamed of yourself. So anyways, what I'm trying to say by that, what I'm connecting it to, is that I heard some of, because Eminem had an album right at the time when he dropped the diss song. Well, he dissed MGK in his album. That could be to promote the album or whatever. A lot of artists want to promote music by having a diss track. And then MGK just come out with an album or an EP, whatever it is. I just listened to it on Spotify a couple hours ago. And my conclusion is, The bits that I heard from Eminem's album this past weekend, and then the bits that I heard from MGK's album, a couple hours ago, I'll just say this. Neither one of them things moved my needle at all. I was not thrilled. I was not moved. I was not excited. I was not blown away. I wasn't even impressed with either one of those albums. The only thing that impressed me on either one of those albums was my boy Jordan Lucas, who was on Eminem's album. He was on one of the records, and that was his contributions, meaning just his vocals, was the only thing that I found impressive about Eminem's album. Just the fact that he was on there. That's it. So, basically, y'all both lost that beef. Okay? You both take an L. It's like they had a fight in another fight organization called Bellator, otherwise known as the B-League. in MMA. That's the B League. If you can't compete in the UFC no more, they kick you down to Bellator, and that's what happens to most of these guys. Shout out to, I think, John Fitch. John Fitch is in the there's a Bellator welterweight tournament, and I think they got John Fitch. I'm just trying to figure out if that's the same John Fitch that was in the UFC years back. And
yes,
if it is. Then, okay, so point proven. Moving forward, shout out to John Fitch. Moving forward, and Rory McDonald, and Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen is a real GOAT, so no disrespect. But everybody else, you in the B League.
Okay,
so moving forward.
Let me ask you this real quick, Keys.
Let me just finish this. The reason why I'm bringing up Bellator is because it was like a double knockdown. They had a Fedor Emelianenko and Matt Mitrione fight, which I think was like earlier this year or late 2017. It was almost like a double knockout. It was like they also had that in the Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko fight. There was like almost a double knockout. Like they were both knocked each other down, and like it could have been an actual double knockout, but then one of the guys just like happens to get up and he wins the fight, or he happens to get up and not be KO'd and finishes the other guy. That's what I'm trying to say is that's basically what happened with the Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly beef, because that was trash. And neither one of them diss records moved my needle. I didn't give a damn about either one. I heard the diss records and they was ass. And the albums was lackluster too, from both of them. And I'm a fan of MGK. I'm a fan of both of them. And I just didn't think either one of the albums were impressive to me, besides that Jordan Lucas verse. That's it. So I think basically Jordan Lucas won that beef. They both lost, and Jordan Lucas won. That's what I think. I hope everybody appreciates my analysis. That's how I feel.
Okay. So just to piggyback on my man Keys, so basically Keys, you saying that the beef was fabricated so they both could try to push their records?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't heard Killshot, but I did hear MGK's. I like the way MGK was rapping. I know I said this on a previous show. I like the way his voice sounded. I like the grittiness of his rap. I felt that if he was to use this version of himself on future records, it'll probably go over better, because I think a lot of people think of him as a poppy rapper, you know, a guy that has catchy little songs that WWE plays and stuff like that, you know. But I like this side of him on this diss track. So I probably not going to listen to the EP because I'm not an MGK fan. But if he sounded like he sounded on that diss track, I probably would give it a listen just to see whether or not his flow, the grittiness, you know, the edginess of his raps come through like that. But at the same time, it is the music game, like you said. So with music, artists have to use every little advantage they can to basically maximize, you know, maybe the popularity or people buying their stuff on iTunes and stuff like that. And to fabricate a beef, I really don't – I'm not going to say I have a problem with it, but at the same time, you should be able to use your skills to sell your records, not to make up a beef and – you know, both of you guys put out diss tracks, and then a few weeks later we find out that you're releasing an album. And Eminem has used this method before because he did the Donald Trump cipher, and then a couple weeks later he released the album. So it's like, is this his way now of promoting his records, is by coming out with a dope freestyle or a diss track and then dropping an album a couple weeks later? Maybe that's his new way of getting his music out there, getting his name out there. But, you know, I just think he's a better artist than that, and his longevity and his skills should be better than that. But at the same time, it was kind of cool to see two guys go at it, you know, on a diss track, you know, one and done. And actually, I really didn't think M dissed him too hard on the one song. So, you know, shout outs to MGK for coming back hard and making Eminem respond. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's the strategy is to sell. I mean, I think that's always been a thing. They always want to sell albums. I think that's a lot of the beef or the feud or whatever today. And for a lot of years, not even just today. Today sounds like recent. You say today, it sounds like the past couple of years. That's been going on almost. I mean, I feel like in the 90s and stuff, people had beef. I feel like it was like street beef. Like they actually like. When I think of that, I'm thinking of like Eazy-E and N.W.A. and Suge Knight. I'm thinking of that. Like when I think of the like 90s shit, that was like, I feel like Eazy-E kind of like, it seemed like he like, rest in peace Eazy-E, by the way. I feel like he like kind of just randomly died. Isn't it like he had like problems in the music industry and then he just up and died. And it just kind of leaves us to wonder. I mean, I feel like an asshole kind of even talking about this right now, but it kind of just leaves us to wonder if, like, what things are connected to, kind of like the same way Tupac just, you know, Tupac and Biggie both got killed in the midst of their beef, which was not over with at the time of both of their death. They never really got, I don't think, had anything settled at the time of both of their death. So it just kind of leads me and leads us to believe, I'm sure some people to believe and wonder if, you know, some of these MCs and musicians, artists' death is related to the music beef that they're involved in. If the people that, you know, they die and get killed, the people that murder them is connected to, you know, something to do with music. I mean, you could say the same thing about, I always pronounce this individual's name wrong, but the XXX XXXTentacion, I think that was probably my best effort at saying that, but I wonder the same thing about his death is like, were people that he had problems with in the music industry related to, you know, somehow connect to the people that you know, up and murdered him.
No, that isn't what happened with him, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's what happened. It's just like it's some of these guys have connections to, you know, it leaves that question out in the open is what I'm really trying to say. Not that's what happened. And that's also clearly different than you know, stuff, you know, the other guys I was naming, but I'm just saying that's the only like, you know, recent scenario that I could somehow connect to that. But yeah, I think most of the stuff is fabricated. And yeah, Eminem and MGK both lost the beef and Jordan Lucas won, so yeah, that's my finish on that, and it's further a snooze at that point. So, Lee, if you have any things you want to go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna chime in a little bit. You know, I kind of agree with you about, you know, beef back in the day seemed to escalate the violence, whereas nowadays the cats, you know, they beef, you know, they keep it on wax, and it's like and I kind of like that about, you know, today's, you know, beef, you know, it doesn't go to the streets, you know, as much as it did back in the day. I mean, one of the biggest beefs of all time was, you know, Biggie and Tupac. And basically, it was like, you know, you had the East versus the West, it seemed like, because then it grew to Tupac versus Mobb Deep. Then you had Dogtown versus Mobb Deep. Then you had, you know, man, it was just a lot of stuff, man. I just feel that as far as, like, MGK, you know, maybe he needed this beef to, like, to get his name out there, even though a lot of people know who he is. But maybe he needed this beef to, you know, so people can see another, you know, another style, you know, another style of rapping for him, maybe a little bit more aggressiveness from him. Whereas I feel Eminem really didn't need it. I thought
Eminem didn't even have to come back with Killshot. You know, he could have just let it ride. I mean, because I didn't think the song he put out was really that hard of a diss record. I think he was going at more of, you know, mumble rappers, guys that don't have lyrical skills, you know, stuff like that. But I think the music industry right now, when it comes to hip-hop, is if you can make a catchy song and you can sell a lot of records on iTunes and get a lot of views on YouTube, a lot of rappers feel like that's success. And I know for me and you, when we talk about hip-hop, we look at success as longevity, consistency, and songs that are timeless. Songs that if you put it on right now, you'll be like, man, that joint is still here. Like today, I'm downstairs in my basement after I got home from work, you know, because I normally do the show in the basement where I'm at right now. You know, probably can tell I'm transitioning to the house. But I came downstairs and I was like, man, let me put on an old CD or something. And they had the song up there with Freeway, Jay-Z, and Beanie Siegel. And I was like, man, this song is still hard. And I was like, man, I love this song. And I was like, man, why? And I was like, I started reminiscing to when Rockefeller Records was, you know, when they was on top. It was Jay, Freeway, Benny Siegel, the Young Guns, who else they had? They had the girl, but she never put out a record. They had Memphis Bleak, you know, Rock. They had Twista, you know, they had Kanye then. And I was like, man, Rockefeller used to be dope back in the day. So, I think a lot of people need to think about that. You know, if you look at J. Cole, who is basically, he's on Rockefeller, on the Rock, but basically he produces his own stuff, writes his own stuff, mixes his own stuff, and all that. And he rarely has features on his records, but his records are good records. And the lyrics are dope, and the concepts of his records are dope. And I think a lot of rappers could use his success as blueprint. Kendrick also, because Kendrick came from the underground to mixtapes to mainstream. You know, he actually did the baseball style. He went to the minor leagues, then jumped up another league, and then he finally in the major leagues, and, you know, he succeeded. So, you know, each rapper and the way they go about, you know, creating their own buzz and doing their own thing. You know, we can't knock their hustle, but one thing we're saying is think about longevity, hit records, you know, classic albums, things like that will always keep your name relevant instead of a song that's about the next dance or, you know, song about making money and your watches and all that. Just think about songs that's gonna keep you relevant for years after your career is over with.
Yeah. Something with substance.
Hey, actually, your boy Jordan Lucas is on a new Two short song. He's on a new Two short song. Yeah. Oh, man, that video, Keys. Keys, that video is so funny, man. The new Keys. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness gracious. Keys, that's one of the funniest videos I've seen in a long time. It's Too Short. It's Too Short, yeah. Jeremiah, Top Dollar Sounds, and Jordan Lucas. Man, you got to see that video, Keys. It's so funny. I'm not even going to ruin it. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about. I'm just going to tell you to watch it if you want a good laugh.
I mean, you really just sold it, so, like, now I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah, man, it's funny. The song is kind of whack, but it's a Too Short song, so you already know what it's about. But the video concept was genius.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm actually about to pull that up right quick right now. Just leave it in the thumbnail so I can watch it after.
Fine. I could talk about something while you're doing that. Well,
no, I'm not gonna watch
it.
I'm just gonna pull it up. But yeah, dude.
No, that's fine. But I know it's something that you want to talk about, and I'm gonna go ahead and segue you into it. Last week they had the Conor McGregor and Khabib press conference, and Khabib said one of the craziest things I ever heard a UFC fighter say. Khabib said he's the most dominant and active champion in the UFC today. Now, when he said that, I was sitting there thinking to myself, this is his first title defense. So I was he the most dominant and active champion in the UFC with one title defense. So I'm going to go ahead and let you tee off on that, Keys. Because I know you felt disrespected. I felt disrespected.
Yeah, I was offended by that a couple times because I've actually rewatched the press conference like almost 10 times now because it's real good entertainment. I was very pleased with the only thing that I didn't like is that they didn't let the fans in. I really would have liked to not just have a press event and have the fans actually be there because, like McGregor said, the fans allow for this to happen. They pay the bills, so if you don't have the fans, you don't have an event. So I don't know why the fans aren't allowed. But anyways, I think he just meant by his record, like most dominant, like I'm the, like as a standing, not what has he done as a champion, because I think he knows he's done nothing yet. I think he means like I'm the most dominant fighter that is a champion. I think that's what he kind of meant. Because him being out.
False too.
Yeah, 26-0. I don't agree with it, but I'm just, I think that's what he means because he doesn't really know English, so for him to word that must have been kind of difficult. So I think he meant most dominant fighter that is a active or current champion. But yeah, that's definitely
Keys,
false.
I think
you're
being
Woodley.
Nice right now, man.
Tyron Woodley is the most dominant champion, so I don't even know what. I don't even need to explain that.
I thought the press conference was, I think why they didn't have fans in is because it may have something to do with it, with the press conference being in New York and Conor had his legal issues in New York. That may have been one of the reasons why Dana only wanted press in there. I mean, we really don't know because they didn't give an explanation. But if I had to take a guess, I would probably say it has something to do with that. But I think they could have hyped it so much better if they would have had at least maybe 50 to 60, if not 100 fans in there, you know, just to, like, bring it, you know, bring it like a weigh-in atmosphere to it. So, and I thought Conor, he was a bit more professional in this press conference than he usually is. You know, of course he was clowning Khabib, you know, putting his feet up on the desk and, you know, saying wah, 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 blah, 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 stuff like that every time Khabib would talk. But then at the end, you know, he reverted back to old Conor when he started talking about Khabib's manager and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the fight, you know. I think we're about 2 weeks out. I think it's not this weekend, but yes, next weekend. So looking forward to that. I already reserved my table at Hooters, and I also reserved a table at another spot depending on how I feel. So we'll see how I feel and where I go watch the fight. But I gotta ask my man Keys this: how do you feel about the UFC promoting Conor's liquor in the octagon during the fight?
I really didn't think anything about it. I felt like, they got Monster Energy drinks on the canvas too, and I feel like
but Monster is an official UFC sponsor though.
Yeah, I think that's what they're aiming for with Proper 12. I think that's going to become an official sponsor as well. And the fact that they can, I think that the fact that they can remarket one of their own through it being like they have their sponsor and it being owned and distributed by one of their fighters, I feel like they see that as a plus. Plus, I mean, I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I also, Conor McGregor is one of my favorites, so obviously I'm not going to have a problem with it. I thought it was great. I was actually online trying to find Prophet 12 Irish Whiskey today. I went on like 3 or 4 different sites trying to order it online, and it's out of stock on every website that I went on. And then I even walked across the street after I got done with school today, and I walked across the street because there's a liquor store right on campus, and I went in the store looking up at the Jameson aisle to see if the Prophet 12 was in there. And I asked the employee, and she said nothing new has came in. So the store didn't have it, and they're all out of stock online. So it's not available. But I want to be posting a couple of shots of it before next Saturday night's fight. Well, next Saturday night's event. I want to have a couple of shots of it during the event, if I can even access a bottle of it.
Well, I know Conor is your boy. I have a big issue with this because the UFC never promotes any of the other fighters, you know, independent endeavors. Let's say, for example, T. Woodley, he's a welterweight champion. He's had, you know, he's defended his belt a few times. He put out a rap album. I think it was the Monday after his fight. The UFC didn't promote that, but they promoted Conor's liquor. Demetrius Johnson, he had a gaming thing that, you know, that he was doing with Xbox, I want to say, and he was actually using, you know, using Demetrius Johnson, UFC champion, and a lot of the UFC fans that follow him use the gaming thing, you know, just because of him. And the UFC didn't promote that. My whole thing is, I understand Conor McGregor is a cash cow. I understand it. I have no issue with that. But if you're going to promote one person's independent endeavors, why wouldn't you promote other fighters' independent endeavors? It only makes your pop. It only brings more vision, more ears, more eyes to your product if you're backing your fighters, especially your champions who are doing things outside of the UFC to bring more eyeballs to your product. And I think me and you talked about this before, and I have an issue with them not finding him. I have an issue with them not finding him for damn near single-handedly ruining a pay-per-view event. They're not going to find him. He's not going to have to forfeit any of his purse. It's just going to be business as usual, as if what he did, like they condone what he did. And I really have an issue with that.
Yeah, I agree with the, if every fighter is doing a different thing, then it brings a lot more attention to your product by drawing in fans that don't necessarily want to watch them for what the product is, because you have other things that might interest them that will then draw them into what they aren't initially interested in. So, like, Demetrius Johnson playing Xbox or whatever, PlayStation, or what he's playing, and then he's – now, if you promote that, then you are drawing in fans of Xbox and PlayStation – because they watch his Twitch stream. So if he has 1,000 people following him on Twitch, and then you promote his Twitch stream, you know, with your product or on the canvas or whatever, then you're bringing those 1,000 followers' attention to the other product that he is a part of, the UFC. Same thing with Woodley. If you put out his rap album, and then now and he has, you know, 10,000 people, or, you know, 100 people listen to his rap album and they like his music, you promote his album, you know, on it, you put an ad for his album before his fight or before, you know, a main event or something, then now you just drew in, you know, hip hop and rap fans to your product who are people who weren't initially going to watch it. So I agree with that. I hadn't taken all those things into consideration. I hadn't, put things down on the table and thought about it. But that's a really good idea, because I think if they did that, they would be doing even better in viewership. And I think everybody would be happy. As for the other thing, what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, not finding McGregor. I was actually reading an article about this earlier, and one of the writers that I was, you know, in the article, the writer mentioned a really good point. And this was something I didn't know. I don't even know if this is official, because just because something is published doesn't mean that it's true. So I don't know if this is a fact, but this writer pointed this out. Well, hold on. I'm getting to the point right here, is that this writer said that, you know, it's interesting that Conor McGregor hasn't even gotten a slap on the wrist, hasn't even gotten a slap on the wrist by the UFC for, you know, the bus attack and all that, when not too long before that, he was released from his contract for slapping that referee at the Bellator event when he jumped over the cage.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him slapping the referee at the Bellator event, and I just forgot that it happened, but I never heard of him being released from his contract for doing that. But if that is a fact, that's a really interesting point to make, and that hits even harder if it were true. I don't know how true it is, but if they did release him for his contract for slapping the referee, but then he gets no punishment for the bus attack, you know, from the UFC, then that's, I mean, it sounds crazy. I don't know if, like, the referee that he slapped, like, pressed charges on him, or if he had to, like, go to court for that. I didn't hear anything. I didn't really look into it at the time because, I mean, to be honest, I didn't really care. It wasn't really, like, on my radar to, like, look up. But, yeah, that would be really kind of weird if he, you know, he had gotten a punishment for a much lesser crime, but then not get a punishment for a much bigger crime, which, like Lee said, almost completely ruined, which it definitely, you know, hurt the event a lot, but almost, like, completely ruined, you know, UFC 223's event. So, yeah, that's crazy. I'm surprised that they haven't, you know, taken a percentage or something like that from him.
I mean, you know, I get it, man, and people that follow our show, they know that me and you have a thing about the UFC hitching their cart to fighters that they like, and they do that. And Conor is a fighter that Dana likes. I actually go as far as say Conor is a fighter that Dana actually loves, the business side. But at the same time, you can't keep letting him get away with stuff over and over and over again. You know, throwing the bottles into the crowd when at the last before the him and Nate Diaz 2 fight. That stuff like that. And, you know, I get it, man. Money can change people. You know, it gives people a false sense of security that they can do whatever they want. And him making all that money and doing that boxing fight against Floyd, I think it even empowered him more to think that he can do whatever he wants. So, and I totally agree with what you said. You said just because somebody writes in an article, it doesn't make it true. But I do know Michael Chiesa is suing him. I think there's another fighter that's also suing him from the bus incident. And I know Thug Rose said that, you know, she still have thoughts of that incident, you know, that happened. So, but, you know, I ain't trying to shit on Conor, man. You know, I think Conor is a guy that brings a lot of eyes to the UFC. A lot of people like Conor. A lot of people like the fact that he can sell a fight single-handedly by himself by just talking trash, you know, doing the things he do. And I think right now, if Khabib was a better talker and was able to go back at Conor, I think the press conferences would be more entertaining. That's why Conor versus my man Tony Ferguson would be great press conferences, because Tony ain't just going to sit back and let you run your mouth all crazy and him not say nothing. So that's one reason why I want Conor to beat Khabib, because I can see him versus Tony Ferguson, just so I can see the lead up to it, because I think it'll be great. It'll be entertaining. It'll definitely give us something to talk about, because me and you both like Conor and Tony Ferguson, and it'll just be outstanding. I just had an issue with them promoting his whiskey and them not finding him. And if they did find him, why they didn't make it public knowledge? Because I think something should happen. So that's why I'm at on that one, man.
And I still think Ferguson's the real champ, by the way. I feel like the belt is rightfully his. Khabib, unless he really surprises me versus McGregor next weekend, then his run, or whatever you call it, is just invalid. He beat Ally Quinta to get the belt. That to me,
number
is not
12.
Even a title fight. Yeah, that is the worst title fight. And he was bragging about it to the press at the press conference, saying, when's the last time the judges scored a title fight 50-43, all three judges? When's the last time a title fight was versus the number 12 guy, you idiot? What are you talking about? Get that guy off the stage, man. I was disgusted when he said that. If I was a reporter, I would have said, when's the last time a guy fought the number 12-ranked guy for the world title? That's the better question. That's what I would have counteracted his question with that question. Because do you feel good about yourself? You beat somebody who is barely even in the ranked division. Do you feel good about yourself? I hope. All right, I'm done with this topic. Forget it. I'm going to toast up a proper 12 whiskey next weekend, and I'm going to sip it while watching the fall of the Russian Empire. That is going to be the greatest feeling in the whole world. I might even toast two shots right off the bat, one for me and one for Lee.
That's what's up.
So,
Man, my man Keys began, boy, he began bitten out of shape, boy, when he started talking about Khabib in that damn title fight.
That wasn't even a title fight. That was like a contender series.
It was some BS, man. And then the bad part was they scrambled around to try to find people to fight him just so they could try to basically keep the main event in place, when all they had to do was they could have – my man Sergio Pettis – I mean, not Sergio, but Showtime Pettis said he would have fight him. All they had to do was get him some extra money. The money – UFC still made money off the event, so why not kick Pettis some extra money to at least make it a credible foe? Not the number 12-ranked guy. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That don't even make sense.
I really wish
one
of those reporters called him out for that bogus title fight, because that needs to be stated. The street, they need to know. People need to hear this, because there's no justice around here. The belts are just being given out for free in this UFC world. Look at that featherweight title they did last year. They had I was thinking about this the other day. They had Ollie Holm fight some random person, you know, in
Jermaine
Geronimo.
Yeah.
They had Holly Holm fight. Yeah, they had Holly Holm fight her. And ironically, I'm pretty sure she was like at least number 10 ranked in the bantamweight division. Just saying. So this was the same caliber as the Khabib and Iaquinta, because the girl was the number 10 ranked versus the Holly Holm, who just lost the belt. You're basically having the champion fight the number 10 girl, who's a completely random, just with the hopes that the belt will land where you want it to. And I know they wanted it to land on Holly Holm because they wanted her to be a star, because they didn't think she would – they thought once she kicked Ronda Rousey in the head and shocked the world that she would have went on and beat a whole bunch of people. But it turns out she lost her next fight to Miesha Tate. So then when that happened – when she lost to Miesha Tate, they had to try and remarket Holly Holm.
And what they tried to do, they put her up to 145 pounds and said, let's have her keep on trying to get this belt so we can try and make her into a star because the fans like Holly Holm. That's what happened. And she fought Bogus Geronimo for the number 10 rank, just like Iaquinta, the number 12 rank. So I think Khabib and Geronimo should get married, and they should together hold the Bogus title, or Woodley likes to call the boo-boo belt. They can share the boo-boo belt. That could be their wedding ring. They could use that as a wedding ring. It's going to be the boo-boo belt, and they're going to strap it around both of them.
But I think the saddest part about this is they had Holly Holm fight her, and I watched the fight, and I thought Holly
beat
her. And the
fight was bogus, too.
Yeah, and then I thought I had Holly beating her, and then they end up giving her the belt, knowing that they were setting it up so Holly would fight Cyborg, and then the girl wins the belt, and she refuses to fight Cyborg. And basically, we haven't heard from her since because she didn't want to fight Cyborg. It's like, for real? Come on, man. You the champ. So,
yeah, she,
you know, man,
it's kind of
funny,
even,
man.
It's sad.
And it goes back to the 145 division of women's should not be even in existence. It shouldn't even be in existence. I mean, you don't have enough fighters. There isn't enough competition. You need to combine the 135, 145, to 140, and go from there. And if we can take it a step further, you can take the 125 and the 115, make it 120, and you can have some great fights down there too. I'm just saying, man, it don't need to be four women's divisions when you could basically make them into two, and you can have even better fights. So, I'm not going to beat a dead horse on this one because I've been saying this about 6 to 10 months now. So, it is what it is, man.
And if the UFC ever comes out with a saying they're going to make a 130 division, then me and Lee are going to send a letter, you know, requesting our ownership stake in the UFC. We're going to want ownership stake because of how we want to be shareholders or something, because all the ideas that they done stole, we got to have a piece of the pie. If they come out with that division, then a complaint is being sent out. It's been going on too long here. They listen to our show and take all our ideas.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they do come out with that 140, man. I'm telling you, I'm suing the UFC. I want to have press credentials for the rest of my life. We'll settle out of court for just press credentials for me and my man Keys for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, hell yeah, for sure. No, man, but you know the big question is, and I'm so happy that, like, with the timing, we just landed at this moment right now, because I'm actually kind of excited to ask this question, because as excited as I am for next weekend's card, I'm even, like, more excited about, not, I wouldn't say more excited, but I'm equally excited about, like, about UFC 230. And as I think about that excitement, I still just am hit with the fact that there is still no main event. And I have speculated, you know, in previous shows, you know, I said it, you know, a pretty good while back. I'm pretty sure I said this at least back in August that John Jones would fight Alexander Gustafsson for interim light heavyweight belt. And, you know, the two of them just fight, period. And, you know, that news, you know, could possibly be true because now we just heard that John Jones has got a reduced suspension from USADA. So I think he got about 15 months suspension. So a year, yeah, so 15 months. So suspended on July 28th when you know, he failed, you know, a blood test or whatever the day before. So the 28th, and then so basically October 28th, John Jones is the first day he will be no longer suspended and he can fight again. So he can resume his career October 28th, ironically, which is, you know, the week before Madison Square Garden card, which is still without a main event. And you have Gustafsson, who got pulled from UFC 227, co-main event or main event, which that was, you know, for some random, like, foot injury. I think he, like, broke his foot or something out of nowhere. Yeah, they, like, said it was, like, a small injury, and he got pulled off the card, and we haven't heard of him having a fight scheduled since. And that was in August. So that fight, I mean, it still seems likely. You know, we said it on this show back in August, and that fight, you know, John Jones, Gustafsson, UFC 230 main event still seems like the most likely possibility to be the main event. The only thing that kind of that could be, you know, could be going against that is that they asked Dana White at the press conference for McGregor and Khabib. They asked, you know, the press asked Dana White if it was possible John Jones could be in the main event for the card, and Dana White said absolutely not. You know, and he later said, like, somewhere else that, you know, John Jones would probably be fighting early 2019. And that there, you know, there's basically, I think he said there was no way that he would be on the, either Dan White said there was no way, or his man, or
yeah,
John Jones' manager. Because I read an interview which they had, well, because they interviewed his manager too, John Jones' manager, and they asked him about it. Oh, yeah, I think his manager called up either the Ariel Helwani show or somebody somewhere else interviewed him, and his manager said that, he didn't say it wasn't a possibility that John Jones could be on the Madison Square Garden. He didn't say, like, a definitive no, but he didn't say yes either, and he didn't even make it sound like a maybe. He kind of just said, you know, it was very unlikely. So he's not really saying no and not saying yes, but he's saying it's unlikely. So it's leaning towards a no. So, I mean, yeah, maybe it was in the talks at one time, but, yo, honestly, you can't believe what Dana White says. Usually when he says no, it means yes, so. John Jones, I mean, I still believe John Jones, Gustafsson is the main event. And I don't doubt that my man, that Lee still believes that too. And we're probably going to stick by that on this show. Yeah,
we're
going to
stick
by that
today,
on this
today until we hear differently. But I think the fight that they wanted, I think Dana's first choice was Woodley versus Covington. And then with Woodley having surgery on his hand, that kind of, like, bumped that. So, you know, this might be a card with no title fight, man. Because I just don't see a fight unless they make TJ versus Morice. Unless they make that fight here shortly, maybe MSG don't have a title fight, man. Because you got Rockhold and Gastelum on Ultimate Fighter. You just had Woodley fight, and he's out. And we know DC not going to fight, and he's holding two belts. Then Thug Rose, I think her opponent, who they got? Who, Jessica Andrade? Is her next opponent?
I don't think they announced
think?
That one yet. I haven't heard anything about Nami Yunus fighting soon.
Yeah. So, actually, the title fight might be Joanna versus Carolina for the 125 belt.
Well, I heard that one is
already booked, though.
That one's supposed to be, I think, co-main event for the card after UFC 231 in December.
In Toronto, right?
It's probably like the week before your the car that you're going to out in Denver. I think it's the week before that or the week of.
No, because mine is November 10th.
Oh, I thought yours was December 10th. Okay.
No, November 10th. And
okay.
Actually, you know what, Kings? Running the back of my head, and I did read this on Twitter, they might be saving Jones versus Gustafsson for Toronto because the first fight was in Toronto. They might be saving it for Toronto.
Oh, main event for 231?
Yeah, because the first fight was in Toronto, and with him coming off suspension October 28th, they might just be saving it for Toronto. So I really don't know what they're going to do for a main event, bro. I mean, it's baffling because you have DC holding up two divisions. Then Woodley is out. And then you have Rocco on Tough on Ultimate Fighter. And then Rose Mama Eunice. Dog, who they going to have main event, man?
Nah, I'm just laughing because you keep saying Rockhold. You know Rockhold's not the champ.
I mean, you're thinking about Whittaker. My bad, man. Yeah, Whittaker,
I was just
bad,
letting you go with
Whittaker.
It. Nah, I yeah,
my
bad.
My bad, Bobby Knuckles. My bad, Bobby Knuckles. No disrespect, bro. No disrespect. So I really don't know what they're going to do, man. I really don't know what they're going to do. I'm hoping that what you said a couple shows back happens, because I think that'll be a great main event, especially with John being from New York. I think that'll be a great main event for him to come back to. But Dana said it's not going to happen. But Dana could be blowing smoke screens again, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, have a surprise press conference to announce Jones versus Gustafson 2 main event 230 for the light heavyweight interim light heavyweight belt.
Well, I mean, because Dana White did say that there was going to be another press conference for McGregor and Khabib. He said there was going to be, from what I understand, there is at least one more press conference for the two of them before next weekend's fight card, which, if that was the case, I would think that it would be this week. But, I mean, it could even be early next week, or it could be next Thursday, you know, the day before weigh-ins. They could possibly do that and just have a back-to-back-to-back, you know, press, you know, three-day, you know, event, have a press conference Thursday like they did this time, and then Friday have the weigh-ins, and then Saturday have the event. I mean, I feel like that – and then at that press conference at the end, they could announce the main event for UFC 230 because it's the last press conference you're going to see. You know, it's the biggest press conference you're going to see before the event.
Or they could announce at the end of the weigh-ins, like they did Ronda versus Amanda Nunes. Didn't they do that at the end of the weigh-ins?
I honestly don't remember that one. I wasn't paying attention as much at that time. I think I just heard about that one on Facebook or something.
Yeah, I think they did it at the end of a weigh-in show. Where they brought Ronda out and Amanda out, and they announced it that way. But I kind of agree with you. Maybe they'll wait until that last press conference and then spring it on the fans. Because I think that press conference is open to the public, that last one. I don't think that's going to be media only. So, yeah, that might be their plan.
All they got to do is not do it in New York. They said they didn't want to have problems in New York. Well, here's the easy solution. Just don't do it in New York and bring the fans somewhere else. There you go. I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen. Like, if anything was going to happen, it's probably because Nate Diaz shows up to the thing and starts throwing bottles. But if he doesn't show up and start throwing bottles, then we might be all right. As far as, you know, the crowd. Things flying out of the crowd, I don't think – if he's not there, I think we'll be okay. But I think he might be a little mad that he's not fighting Conor and that Conor's fighting Khabib. So, you know, if he was there, there could be some flying, you know, Poland Springs G2s or something like that coming out of the crowd.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. So, we'll see. Actually, a commercial
went past
my TV. Promoting Rampage versus Vanderlei Silva 4 and Musashi versus Roy McDonald for Bellator next Saturday.
Oh,
well, this Saturday coming up.
Are those on the same card? Rampage and Roy McDonald's fight is on the same card?
Yeah.
That's actually funny because Bellator is doing that event next weekend, and then they're doing the weekend after that, they're doing the Chael Sonnen card. You know, Chael Sonnen and Fedor is like the weekend after.
Well, I know they're not crazy enough to travel to have an event on the same night as the UFC. I would hope not.
Yeah. Because they know most of those fans that are watching their event are probably UFC fans too, so they're going to watch UFC and not Bellator. Don't make your event tank because you did that. You tank yourself if you did that. You know it's your own fault. You made the wrong play. You made the wrong play, and then your coach got mad, and then you got mad at him for getting mad at you. Then later you cooled down and realized it was your own damn fault for being stupid. That's you, Bellator.
Yeah, and I totally agree.
Yeah, you didn't make the right play.
You definitely don't want to go try to go head to head with Conor versus Khabib. You don't want to try that.
Yeah, Bellator, you might sell 5 pay per views that night if you do that. A whopping 5.
They're normally free though.
They're free pay per views.
Yeah, they're coming on regular TV.
Really?
The event they had last weekend came on regular TV.
Wow.
It was last weekend or the weekend before. Came on regular TV.
Man, I might gotta try and watch one of these Bellator events one of these days.
Yeah, they're free.
I have to check that out.
Normally,
I didn't know it was on TV.
I think the one that they probably have pay per view will probably be the event they have in Hawaii, because it's going to be the first time either Bellator or UFC been in Hawaii in a number of years. So that might be a pay per view because they're going to try to make that probably one of their biggest cards. So we'll see what happens. But
you
I think
Bellator
that's probably the only one they put to Hawaii.
Bellator is doing an event in Hawaii. Max Holloway probably be in the crowd.
Well, you know, man, I think the UFC should have went to Hawaii. They should have went to Hawaii when BJ was the champion. They should have went to Hawaii when, since Holloway has been the champ. They should have already been to Hawaii, man. It's definitely a market for Hawaii over there. You know, a lot of guys that came, I mean, Ben Levin came from Hawaii, BJ Penn, Max Holloway. It was another well-known fighter that was fighting out of Hawaii, too. I just can't think of the name right now. But I think the UFC's kind of dropped the ball on having an event in Hawaii.
Yeah, they slacked on that. You know, I'm going to be watching, the reports, the next – I mean, I always watch the reports, and I'll check to see what's up with that main event. You know, me and Lee will be we break a lot of fight news on this show, believe it or not. You know, remember that we broke that Mayweather fight, a little while back, and it still hasn't been announced. But know that it's going to be announced, and when it does, just remember you heard it here first. And remember, you heard the John Jones Gustafson here first as well. We break all the fight news. And when that main event drops, we'll be breaking that too. But
when they get rid of the 145 and 135 women's division and make it a 140, you heard it here first.
Exactly. When they downgrade and they smush those divisions together, you heard the idea here first. This was a good show. I'm glad that we got to, talk music and UFC. That's what this show is built on. And I think every show should have a little bit of both. Those are like two of the most, passions that at least I can say, that I have and that we like to talk about. Lee, you can, take it from here, bro.
Normally at the beginning of the show, I normally do a dedication or whatever. But, I didn't do that tonight, so I'll do it now. Tonight's show is dedicated to our listeners, man. Without y'all, we wouldn't have a show. We do this because, we like to talk about certain things. But we do it just so we can you know, sparks an interest in, maybe something that we talk about sparks an interest in you to give UFC a listen, or, you know, think about a political event in a different light, or look at a music artist another way, or, you know, just sparks an interest in you, and we shout out you for loaning us your ear, and we appreciate it. So keep listening, keep giving us your support, and we'll keep giving you these good shows.
Yeah, like, you know, loan us your ear, and loan us your ear, and we promise you a good show. Every time.
That's right.
And
loan us your ear, you won't be disappointed.
You won't be disappointed, and you will come back for more. Everybody, stay positive, and watch out for endangered species. Because I was reading something, and they said there's like 61 of them still available. So, yeah, just be aware of endangered species. And that's what I'll leave you with right there. Everybody, have a good night, and enjoy life. Have a good rest of the night and tomorrow day. From Boston to Denver, we got over and out. Clean Keys, Real Talk, episode 61.
Hey.
Lee, have a good night, my man.
All right, man. You too, man.
Clean Keys, over and out. Peace.
Peace.